I'm Shan Rose. This is Straight From Rose, your front row seat to government, community, and all the in-between tea. Served, informed, not messy. So when it hits your timeline, you say it loud with your chest. You heard it straight from Rose. Thank you for tuning in on another episode of Straight From Rose podcast. I want to thank all of my listeners. I want to thank all my subscribers. I want to thank everyone who has joined me on the show. I want to thank everyone for reaching out with concerns and continuing to share ways that we can grow here in District 5 in the city of Orlando. So I have had the pleasure of, and I would say the honor of being able to have a podcast to go with TJ when TJ was starting back up his podcast. And Cass goes, well, why don't you teach people about government? What does government do? Like, what do you do as an elected official? What's life like? And, you know, share so people can learn from others. And so I want to thank you, Cass, for providing an opportunity, a space, a place. And thank you for joining me on the show today, because you have your own great things happening. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you. I appreciate you inviting me on the show. I'm very honored to be with the commissioner. Very honored.
Thank you. Introduce yourself and, you know, tell the listeners a little bit about who Cass is.
I don't know. It's kind of hard. My name is Cassandra Williams. Everybody calls me Cass for short. Wow, that's kind of a hard thing to do a bio about yourself. What do I do? I'm the CEO of a company called Society Entertainment. We are in music entertainment, management, label, things I've done in the past. If you're from Orlando, you may know the group Trill. My first project was putting out a song called I'm Not Locked Down, which was huge in Orlando. I worked with a lot of different local artists, had deals with Universal Music Group. I help co-found the Culture Radio with now I manage with DJ 5 Venom. We co-founded the Culture Radio. I've done countless things in the community. I work for Career Source in Central Florida, where I fostered relationships with Full Sail, with a lot of different programs like Goodwill. I work with the youth program, so I did a lot of community service there. Worked with the local libraries, help youth get programs. I mean, get jobs. Also, was a social worker for many years here in Orlando as well. So, I helped advocate for abused kids in that system there. Currently, I'm a project manager as well. So I do that as well. I won't mention where I work for because I don't know, you know. But currently in the entertainment business, I manage DJ 5 Venom, which is Rolling Loud. I also manage TJ Chapman, and I also manage DJ M Square. And I do podcasts. I have a huge podcast called Black Men's Mental Health, which is a top podcast in the country for mental health. You know, it's not known. I'm not a doctor like Miss Bryant, so I'm not faking funk. Numbers are real. You know what I'm saying? I also help produce podcasts like your podcast and other people's podcasts as well. I do advise, and I wrote a couple of books that were bestsellers on Amazon about podcasting and Black Men's Health Mental Health. And I speak at several seminars and stuff about Black Men's Mental Health. So that's pretty much a nutshell.
That's a whew. You know, wait, where's the background? I would say this, that's a huge bio in a short time, but what I hear is, and what you may not realize is impact in different areas, impact from youth life to when you were social working to in the music industry. And people don't realize a manager is needed in the music industry, right? Mm-hmm. So when we look at, I say this, we're going to stay on Rolling Loud for just like a couple
of okay.
I reached out to the promoter and said, hey, bring it to Orlando. I know you guys are looking for a new home. And it was like I was holding it in my chest. I couldn't. People would ask me, like, I don't know. We'll mm-hmm. see. Because, you know, you have to sign a contract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, you could talk about things and we could hope and pray for, but you got to sign a contract. And so once Rolling Loud finally made the announcement back in December, it was one of those, it was fast paced for us because now it's public. We've got to address things. But one of the things that stuck with me the most is the fact that artists were reaching out to me to get on Rolling Loud.
Mm-hmm.
And so it speaks to me, and it's like, y'all need managers. Mm. Like, management is a real thing when it comes in the music industry because if one, no matter where Rolling Loud is, your management should be tracking Rolling Loud down every year at the end of every year, regardless of where, because it's a, you know, it's an international show, right? So if you're streaming like that or you're, because that's ultimately where, you know, you, who you bring. You bring artists that are streaming. So management is important. So it sounds like if people listening are looking for music management, artist management, Cass is the person. It looks like if you're looking for podcast and looking to do a podcast, Cass is the man. Come on now, Cass. And then it sounds like Black men, y'all need to focus on, and I would say, while that is your focus, Black men, period, need to focus on your mental health. So it sounds like you also need to tune in and subscribe to Cass's podcast. What inspired you to start a mental health podcast?
All right, true story. About 6 years ago, I had a mental breakdown.
I'm sorry.
Well, during that time, my best friend at the time, he passed away. My father passed away. Business wasn't good because it was around COVID. I left my job. My marriage was going down. Like, everything was like horrible during COVID. And one day I just broke down. I had this huge argument with my wife. I went crazy to the point where I Baker acted myself.
Oh, wow.
Because I just wasn't. It was bad. It was really bad. So when I went in there, right, it was a place over by UCF.
Okay.
The BA was sometime. I went in there. And one day I knew I wasn't crazy because there was some problem. I went in there and I woke up real quick. I was like, you know what? I don't got no problems because these people got problems. So when I sat down, because you, when you get in there, you do a session, because I actually volunteered to go. And you do a session, and after my session and stuff, you know, I was diagnosed with depression, anxiety, and sleep deprivation, which they said is a very deadly combination. Because I wasn't getting no sleep. I was sleep like 2 hours a day, if that. And everything was so. I was there for 2 days.
Okay.
And when I got out, I knew I had to repair everything in my life. I had to repair my relationships. I had to repair everything because I just was not mentally there like I was. The thing about mental health, too, is that you would think you're functioning right.
Mm-hmm.
You think everything's right and you're not.
Okay.
And I was in a position in my life at that time where nobody was going to tell me that something was wrong with me. Not that everybody's yes people, but, you know, people are supporting you, your wife, your family, your business partners, you know, they're just supporting you rather than telling you, you really got some problems going on. You know what I'm saying? You're not, you know, but, you know, but I knew I had to really mend a lot of relationships. One of the things I wanted to do, though, was really research more about mental health, particularly with Black men, because I believe we have a particular we have certain mental health disorders that really apply to us that are not addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was looking for, you know, help, there really wasn't.
Okay.
To the point where, since I'm like a computer guy, I looked up like domains, and the only mental health domain that was available was blackmensmentalhealth.com, which tells you that it's really not covered.
That's
every
crazy.
Single I own blackmensmentalhealth.com. You go to blackmensmentalhealth.com, you see my podcast and me.
Wow.
And it was the only one that was free. There was no help on it. So I really decided to start the podcast, you know, more for a therapeutic thing for myself to talk. So after a few months of it, I was just talking. I didn't think nobody was really listening. There wasn't really any help when I was trying to talk to like different psychologists just on that subject. Then I got an email. I got an email from Feedspot.com. Feedspot does a lot of like numbers, you know, they like list of different categories of podcasts and the numbers and all that stuff. And I thought it was a scam. I'm like, they're trying to get some money from me. They're like, oh, congratulations, you're in the top 100 and top 100 podcasts worldwide for mental health. You're a number. I think at that time they said I was like number 8. I'm like, how the fuck? I'm number 8. Like, you're scamming me. And I had this whole separate email to the podcast I never looked at, right? I was just, my mental health at that time, I was on medication. I was just focusing on just doing something to get my mind straight, heal relationships and all. And I ran the email just to like, and I saw like literally hundreds of messages. And I was like, people are really listening to me?
Wow.
Like I had no idea people listened to me. And it was weird because I was like, this is real. And it wasn't just black men. It was all types of people. Like it was women that dating black men, white women, Asian women, you know what I'm saying? Black women, well, a lot of black women hating, but that's another stuff. But it was a lot of emails. One particular email that really got me was this gentleman. He was a truck driver.
Okay.
And he said that, like, you know, he's on the road for hours and hours by himself driving, and his mental health is really messing with him because he was always lonely. And he's like, the only thing that keeps him sane was listening to my podcast every night while I was on the road. And that, you know, so because of my mental health and what I was going through, like helping others now when it comes to that, really was therapeutic to me, helped me out, you know what I'm saying, and got me to a great place. So if any of you listen to my podcast, you listen from the beginning, I think we're at like almost 250 episodes now over the years. And you know, I always thank everybody at the beginning of my podcast because, to be honest, that podcast helped me get out of my mental health. And just, you know, not to get too religious, but, you know, I feel I'm a testament that when God takes everything away from you, you work hard, he gives you everything 10 times back. And to be honest, my life right now is 10 times what it was back then in every subject, money, love, business. So, you know, so that's my mental health testament, as they say. And and doing the podcast has been great. You know, it's a joy. It's really something that, you know, you're doing something, giving back and helping others, and it helped me. So I like to thank anybody that's listened to my podcast, because to be honest, I didn't help you. You probably helped me more than I helped you. How I feel.
That, you know, somebody cutting onions in this studio. Why y'all cutting them onions? It goes back to what I said, like helping other people. And I want to commend you for using an outlet to, one, accepting that you needed the help. I think that was big, right? Mm-hmm. I think we all live in that space. I'm going to say this. I don't think the average person, and, you know, I'm going to go on this road and might be dark for one of those listeners. I don't think the average person realized the struggle of a black person in American society. I just, when you actually Google, like, I'm listening to you, and you Google black men's mental health, and it hadn't been taken. Well, what does that tell you? Right? Yeah. Like, no one, there isn't much focus on that. I would say when we look at the disparities, and so, you know, people say, there's no such thing as colorism. There is, right? Unfortunately, there is. I have been to places where I have seen other races come in after me and have been served before me. And so I'm going to say this because it's this weird space. So I always say when I go certain places, I always tell my partner, like, I feel like I'm in the scene of Get Out, because we'd be like the only black people. But when you think about it, like, you know, some of the nicer restaurants and places to eat are in affluent communities. So it's not going to be necessarily in the hood. You're not going to find a fine dining. And I'm going to say this for those listening. If there's a fine dining restaurant in the hood, reach out to my office. I don't care which hood. It could be in Atlanta. It could be in Memphis. I'm going to come and check it out. But typically in a black neighborhood, you're really not going to find fine dining. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even some, I would say seafood is not really a thing. Like, going and get some nice, I don't know of any in most black neighborhoods where you can go get some, you can go sit down in a nice restaurant and get some good seafood, right? So, and I'm a big seafood person. So I give me my whole Snapple on any given day. And so I always make the joke that, like, why do we always end up in these Get Out scenes? And the response is always, well, you know what? I ain't taking you nowhere then. I'm going to take you to McDonald's or something, because, you know, it's unfortunate, right? And I watch it where it's like everybody looks like, oh, there's black people here. Mm-hmm. People don't understand just that instance can make someone say, I'm not going outside. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just stay home and I'm going to cook something or I'm going to order in. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to be judged walking into this nice restaurant and being a minority.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I definitely understand that. I was born in, I won't say my age, but I was born in a time where, you know, we had like a lot of different aspects of black community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was raised in a time where, you know, you had the Queen Latifahs, you had the Positive Rep, you had the WB, the, you know, the positive shows and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, we had a mixture of it. Nowadays, unfortunately, there is no mixture of our culture. There's mm-hmm. just one perspective of it, which is not the best perspective. Mm-hmm. And even though I think there is some medic things that have happened in this country, but one of the things I do on my podcast, I wrote in books about accountability is that, you know, we could identify what has been done to us, mm-hmm. right, and recognize it. But we also have to take accountability for how we are viewed and our actions to public, mm-hmm. because a lot of reactions we get right now, unfortunately, is because of what is on media. You know, as black people, a lot of people, even ourselves, make money off of our negativity. Mm-hmm. No other culture is like that.
Yep.
And we promote it, we push it ourselves. You know, mm-hmm. I always say we can't help what other people do to us. You know what I mean? That's just how they're going to be. But we got what we do to ourselves. But you know, we do a lot of things to ourselves to cause our own problems. And that, like I said, that's not taking away what has been done to us systematically, because I think that's a whole nother, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. another discussion. But, you know, I was raised with mentality, you know, you got to take care of home first. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't worry about what people do in the street. I got to worry about what's in my household. Mm-hmm. And as a people, we don't take care of home. We look outside and we say, they're doing this to us. They're doing that. And that's fine. They may be doing that to us. But what that got to do with our home? Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that people do to us is because, you know, you got a whole bunch of these YNs and, mm-hmm. and new generation that don't really know about, you know, the struggle in 70s and what happened mm-hmm. to us. You know, they're reacting to what they see now. You know, they listen to the music and it's all ghetto. This is what we put out. They look at Real House of Wives and Zeus and all these, mm-hmm. you know, all these negative images of us that we support. They think that's the black community. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, it doesn't help when we're supporting it. It's not like a whole bunch of white people watching it. And then, you know, like, oh yeah, no, it's us that are supporting it. So unfortunately, I think it's a dual problem where we do have systematic things in America that needs to be fixed that are harming our people. But then on the other hand, we don't help it by how we react to what we do as well.
It's funny you should say that. I always tell folks, how do you think other races know about stereotypes? It starts with us. Mm-hmm. When you stereotype that every black man with gold teeth in his mouth is a dope dealer, then what you think is going to happen? What mm-hmm. people don't realize is the 90s, there was a time and space where gold teeth was just fashion. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to be a dope dealer.
Or status quo.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty of people I know got golds in their mouth. Women, too, where they was mm-hmm. doing the gold. Back in the days, the black women were doing gold lining mm-hmm. around their teeth. And so, and these are professional women, right? And so it's the thing where we create our own stereotypes, and then when they get mad, when other people judge us by the same stereotypes that we created. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's when you hone in right there and said it, it's so true. Like, we create our own stereotypes in our communities, and then one, the biggest thing for me as an elected, they want the government to come fix everything. Mm-hmm. Well, when we come and fix things, then you hear gentrification. Oh, the government trying to get rid of us. Well, hold on. Do you want us to fix it? Or do you want to fix it, right? Because we could provide all the resources in the world and the resources are available, but are you taking advantage of it? Mm-hmm. Are you using it? So it's that, like, you speak to us. So listen, y'all have to tune in and subscribe to Cass's podcast, because we have to change the perception of who we are as the people. We have to learn to stick together. You know, I use myself as an example. You know, I went through a messy election, a re-election, should I say. And there were some people that stood their ground about me. It was like, no, Sharon Rose is not this. Sharon Rose mm-hmm. is not that. And that's what it's going to take. But the moment that, you know, we divide ourselves and we continue to say, like, we're against each other and, you know, poking at each other, you know, what do you think other people are going to do?
See, I think the problem with our people, and I don't want to get too deep into this because I can go into this all day long. I think we want equality, but the problem is we want equality and separation, which is not true equality. And the problem is you can't say America accept me, I want to be like America, but then say I want to do my own thing. You know, it's, you know, you can't have both, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. You know, like, I don't have no problem with gentrification because they're not doing the nice affluent black neighborhoods that are positive. Then, you know, then I'm like, yeah, you know, that's kind of messed up. This is a great neighborhood. You're just changing it because it's too black. No, these are the hoods, the places that, like, you go through. And it's not just here in Orlando. I'm from New York. You know what I mean? Born and raised here. So, you know, I went to Harlem one time with my wife. This is years back when they started the gentrification of Harlem. And I was telling my wife about Harlem, how it is, because I grew up in the hood. I grew up in the project. So I'm like, oh, Harlem, you're going to go down there. And I go down to my wife, tell my wife, you know, hey, you know, we're going to Harlem, show you the realness, you know? And I see white women walking their poodles. I'm like, what the hell is this? I see little brunches, little brunch bougie. I'm like, what the hell? So my wife, she bougie. So she's like, oh, this is so nice. I'm like, no, this is not Harlem. This is not nice. This is not what I remember. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's not a bad thing because, to be honest, and I want to say this too. This is funny to what I'm saying. I'm from New York, so it's kind of like a pride where you raised in the hood, like, you know, I went through like gang wars, and I went through a lot of shit growing up, you know what I mean? Same. So it's like a pride, a badge of honor in New York, right? Same. So I was sitting with my son, talking to my son about it one day, right? And I'm telling my son, I'm like, yo, I'm from the hood, son, let me tell you how it is, and a lot. I was telling him everything I went through, right? And I was saying it with pride, because when you're from New York, you go through certain things, that's pride, you know what I'm saying? You're like, yeah, I went through gang wars and I survived this, and you know, my son looked at me, and this is how the generation started. He looked at me and said, Dad, you really think that's cool? I was like, yeah, man, I'm from New York. Your dad is free. He's like, Dad, that's trauma. He's like, you went through traumatic stuff. And I looked, I said, and I stopped for a second. I really started thinking it from an outside perspective. I was like, yo, he's right. That's trauma. That's like real trauma I went through. That's not good stuff. It just made me realize that. So that's why my idea of like gentrification and things are going to change, because I'm like, we have been conditioned to believe that these things are good for us when there aren't. And we will fight toe and nail to anybody that tells us it isn't. And all we're doing is arguing our own demise. Because if you look at our culture right now, it is declining because we're fighting to hold on to traditions that are really hindering our growth as people. You know, and the minute you step out of that pain, that hurt, that depletion of our culture, the culture gets on you like you're crazy. They want to cancel you or say you're a sellout or you're an Oreo. And that's horrible. So when you start thinking outside that box of what the culture is telling you, you really start to see how messed up we are. And unfortunately, when you try to change, you become the enemy. And we all want to be cool. We all want to be black and proud. But black and proud now is being black and ghetto. Because when you're black and really proud and doing what's good, you're compared to white people or other cultures, and then you're ostracized. So I just want to say that.
No. And I totally agree. I mean, I live it day to day as the commissioner, right? And I tell folks, like, what if I told you the businesses that I've supported and I've given funding were minority? Do I have to tell you that what kind of owned businesses they are? That's for you to go and say. That's for, first and first, that's for that business to go to. That is not my responsibility to specifically say, because then somebody going to say, you racist because you only give it to minority companies. Or you racist because you only give it to white people. I knew she only supported white people. No, like, all of our programs are for everyone. And we, you know, have to do better at saying, how do we collectively make a better community? We can't continue as black people to say the government needs to come save us, because what the government, and I'm speaking from the government role right now, what I look like saving you may not be what you want. I might say, you know, and it's a thing for me, I think about, you know, being middle-aged, although I'm still young, I'm still under 40, I think about, what is a 45-year-old black person into? How do I bring that here? The black 45-year-old is into art. mm-hmm. into events, into smoking cigars and enjoying mm-hmm. themselves, mm-hmm. right? They're not into party and riffraff.
Not at all.
Now, if the party and riffraff come, they might be catering or selling mm-hmm. something, right? Mm-hmm. So I think about the business aspect. And so that's the space that I'm in, right? I create a place in a space for everybody, but we all have to do our parts in that.
But even, and I'm going to be real, because anybody follows me or knows me knows I don't hold my breath for nobody. But even when you do support Black businesses, is the worst experience. My wife, love her to death, Marie, love you. And she is so gung-ho in supporting Black business. Mm-hmm. She is so gung-ho, right? I would swear she was like Black American born. She's Haitian, born in Haiti. But I would swear she was like, you know, the way she wants to support. But every time we have supported a Black business, it's been the worst experience. From the customer service to the pricing, it's been horrible experiences. Now, I'm not saying this reflects all Black businesses. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get ostracized here. You know what I'm saying? No, it doesn't. But a lot of the Black businesses that, like, people are saying to support, mm-hmm. and then you go support them, mm-hmm. the experience is horrible. Completely horrible. And I don't know why. I think I know why, but that's a whole nother discussion. But in general, I don't know why our standards on business is different than other cultures that have business. You know, other cultures are providing, at the end of the day, the bottom line is the money. Mm-hmm. They want their money. So they're doing everything they can to satisfy their customers to get the money, right? Black people, it's like when you go to their business, they think they're entitled to your money. So just because I'm Black owned, you should give me money, rather than I may be Black owned, but I'm going to earn your money by giving you the best services, customer service, product, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I thank you because you support me because I'm Black owned. Great. But you're still going to get the same quality or even better quality than if you go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But that's not culturally the idea. It's like, oh, we're. I mean, let's be honest. How many times we brag about places that give the worst customer service, but because they're Black, we like, yeah, man, it's funny, it's cool.
Forget about that. The food. I've been to places, you know, where you support and people rave about the person's food, and then you go try to be like, this is the most heart attack in a buck mm-hmm. in a plate that I have ever seen. It's nasty.
Yes.
Okay, well, I visit my get out restaurants.
No, seriously. I mean, it's you know, we can't sit here and be mad at what we put out there as a community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem. We get mad at what people say to us when we put it out there ourselves. And I think that's the problem we have and we need to work on as a people, the presentation of us. Because every culture has bad shit.
You know, it makes me realize, for me, one, this, you know, being the commissioner is a learning curve for me. Mm-hmm. I learn something new every day. And we should all learn something new every day. If you're doing something wrong, if you don't learn one new thing a day, I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. And so I learn so much. And for me, it's a joy having a podcast to be able to share ways that people can get involved. People can understand my struggle. People can realize that I'm a human being like everyone else, mm-hmm. but more importantly that I'm here to support and I'm here to help. So I want to thank you for pushing me to, you know, podcast and hit me up, hey, when we're recording, and making sure like I stay on task too. I want to thank you for who you are in allowing the Lord to use you. As you went through something, you didn't do it alone. You took the mm-hmm. world with you. And as you took the world, you're healing yourself but healing others. I want to thank you for that. And anything you want to say before we wrap up?
You know, just go to CassandraWilliams.com. I mean, that page has everything I do. You know, all my projects, things I'm doing, who I'm managing. Also, I got to shout out me and my wife's projects because she'll probably be mad at me if I didn't. CoupleChris.com. We have a very popular page where we do reviews on like a whole bunch of restaurants, movies, all that stuff. That's been pretty popular. And then we might do a podcast that we're going to get back to called Divorce Not an Option, because, you know, we've been together 23 years, which is very rare now of people being together and married mm-hmm. for 20. So we do that as well, because my wife is also a certified life coach and all that and has her own accolades by herself. So yeah, but yeah, Castle Williams, download the app, the Culture Radio app. Expect some big updates pretty soon on it. And that's it. Yeah, I mean, that's all I could think of. Just go to castlemovies.com. All my information is on there.
Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for tuning in and listening to Straight From Rose podcast. I will talk to you soon.